The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Mark.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus went up the mountain and summoned those whom he wanted, and they came to him. He appointed 12, whom he also named apostles, that they might be with him, and that he might send them forth to preach and have authority to drive out demons. He appointed the 12, Simon, whom he named Peter, James, son of Zebedee, and John, the brother of James, whom he named Boanerges, that is, sons of thunder, Andrew, Philip, Bartholomew, Matthew, Thomas, James, the son of Alphaeus, Thaddeus, Simon the Cananean, and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. The Gospel of the Lord. Today we see the calling of the apostles, that Jesus went up the mountain to pray, and after he had prayed, summoned those whom he wanted, and they came and he appointed them. The same Jesus who prayed for them and called them prayed for us and has called us. And we see the two essential aspects of a vocation and baptism to be a saint, vocation within a vocation, to be a religious or a priest, vocation, what it means today as marchers march for life in Washington, what it means to protect and enhance the dignity of every human life. We see it here. First, Jesus appointed them that they might be with him. His vocational training is always first and foremost bringing us into communion with him. We never work apart from him. As branches on the vine, we can bear new fruit without him. So the first and fundamental way that we respond to our vocation is to prioritize being with Jesus at all times. The meaning of his incarnation was not a been there, done that. It was supposed to be a perpetual, full-time, even eternal action on his part. He's come to enflesh himself in our existence. And our first free response is to be with him who comes to be with us. That communion. Second is, once we are with him, transformed, then we're able to be sent forth together with him to proclaim him. Because that's ultimately what we do, to proclaim his presence, to proclaim that Jesus wants to be with others. And then to drive out demons. When we're living truly in God's kingdom, the kingdom of the evil one, the prince of this world, has no chance. The devil's able to do his work in those situations in which God hasn't been voluntarily welcomed. So the principal act of exorcism is not so much a formula in Latin with bless salt. The greatest means of exorcism is when we are with the Lord as he casts the evil one out. When we live together with him in the world, we're not going to be living with the prince of demons. To be with Jesus, to be sent forth to proclaim Jesus and to be his instruments to exorcise the world. That is our essential vocation. Today's first reading, we see something essential about how to live that way. David, despite his sinfulness, was one who sought to be with the Lord, doing the Lord's will. And he had been challenged. This was the second main time Saul had hunted David down to kill him, even though David had been such a loyal, triumphant soldier in Saul's army. Saul, out of envy, just wanted David destroyed because of how the Lord had blessed David's work. But when David had his chance again this second time, he didn't take Saul's life because he had recognized that Saul was the Lord's anointed. that Saul had a special relationship with the Lord. And therefore, to attack Saul would be essentially to attack God and God's choices. This is so important for us to grasp today, because if we're truly with the Lord, then we do look on others with reverence, all those with whom God has a special relationship. And this is the particular message that being with the Lord, we need to proclaim to our culture to exorcise the devil and the culture of death and destruction he spawns. Not to harm the Lord's special ones. It's the first thing we need to proclaim to a culture that sometimes turns and does destruction to those made in God's image and likeness in the womb. We need, likewise, never to harm those who have made such choices or are thinking about it, but to treat them with great reverence. To those who are suffering as a result, we need to make sure not that they are further harmed by this culture, but brought to receive the Lord's mercy. Even those who cooperate in bringing about this destruction, who are like Saul's, trying to destroy others, we need to treat them likewise as the one who is with us would treat them, and he gave his life to redeem them. This is the ultimate culture of life that Christianity prospers. A culture of genuine reverence, a culture in which we do no harm, but in fact, together with the Lord, seek to do the greatest good. Someone who shows us how to do this is the great saint the Church celebrates today, St. Francis de Sales. He was a brilliant young guy from a noble family. He sensed a desire to be a priest because he wanted to be with the Lord and make it possible for others to be with him. He wanted to proclaim his love. He wanted to carry out his kingdom. But his father had other plans, wanted him to become a senator, wanted him to marry according to his noble birth. Eventually, when Francis was 24, he was able to persuade his father when the Bishop of Geneva promised that as soon as he was ordained, he would be made vicar general. And the father, moved by vanity, said, well, I didn't want my son to be a priest, but I'd at least allow him to be a Monsignor as soon as he was ordained. So he served very competently. He was like Charles Borromeo, more or less, at the same time. The whole corrupt system that would permit these things every once in a while allowed somebody through who would be God's instrument to fix the whole system. But 9 months after his priestly ordination, the Bishop of Geneva recognized that the whole region of the Chablais, which we know now for wine, but it was really known for Calvinism at the time because Calvinism ran over the area in no time. It was a place in which there was only a handful of Catholics remaining. It was a suicide assignment. They would harass and even murder the Catholic missionaries who were there. And so the Bishop of Geneva wasn't going to assign anybody to it. He's going to ask for volunteers. And that's when the young Monsignor Francis de Sales stepped forward and said, Excellency, if you think that I would be capable of the assignment, I would be happy to be chosen. No one else stepped forward for that difficult assignment, going to turn a culture right side up again at the risk of his life. The bishop chose Francis, and out he went to the brutal cold of the French Alps. Many times he had to spend his night in garrisons because they were hunting him down. Another occasion, frigid night, he had to spend in a tree because there were wild dogs set to rip him apart. But no matter all the hardships, he went about patiently, with great love, bringing people back. And after a few years of work, he reconverted the entire area. And how'd he do it? He did it not preaching fire and brimstone. He wasn't scaring the hell out of Calvinists. What he was essentially doing is winning them over by the Lord's meek love. Francis would always say, use honey rather than barrels of vinegar. And he himself brought that honey, treating everyone with whom he interacted with the reverence with which their Christian baptism would require. And that's what essentially won people back. Because in contrast with the harshness of Calvinism and predestination, what people were able to see in Francis was the love that they had always deeply, at least, wanted God to have for them. And so then they came back. What a beautiful patron he is for the pro-life movement at its best. Sometimes those who are with us in defense of life can come off as terribly shrill. They can be wagging fingers. They can be condemners. Francis de Sales shows us how to overcome others with charity, with real Christ-like love, the type of love that comes when we're with him, proclaim him, and together with him and his meekness in the way he did it, through loving sacrifice, expel the devil. Have mercy on me, O God, have mercy, was our responsorial psalm today. In the shadow of your wings I take refuge, to harms pass by. Sweet today as the marchers march on Washington, beg for the Lord's mercy on our country, on ourselves, and on all those who have in one way or another been touched by the culture of death. We ask the Lord in his mercy to bring us evermore to be with him who has come into our world to be with us, so that we might proclaim this gospel and as salt, light, and leaven, bring about his kingdom. Praise be Jesus Christ.
Amen.